Welcome to the Taboo Podcast, hosted by me, Lexi D'Angelo, industry rule breaker, seven-figure moneymaker, and founder and head witch of the Taboo Institute. WTF is the taboo, you ask? It's the vortex of transformation that is experienced when people claim the magic of the taboo, woo, and Y-O-U. It's a way of being that invites you to question the status quo and dismantle the outdated hierarchical paradigms and structures that have been sucking your soul, and instead follow the signs of your turn on and true knowing to create fulfilling and sustainable success your way, AKA without ever sacrificing your purpose, passions, and priorities in the process. After all, I'm a firm believer that true transformation happens when you're able to unapologetically claim and express your fullest, most multidimensional self. It's time to ditch the norm, embrace the provocative, and reach next levels of impact and income by invoking the taboo.
Hello. Hello again. It's Vicky and Joe here. Welcome to the next episode of the Taboo Podcast. We're having a series, an ongoing series right now, where we are sharing a little bit of the behind the scenes sneak peek of what our Taboo Institute has got in store for anyone who enters into the castle. And I think it's really cool that we get to share pieces of it with you so that you can get a sense of whether the magic and mastery that we teach our students could be something that you're into, something that you might already be engaged with and expressing in the work that you do in the world. So it's fascinating to think that what we've shared so far has been a lot of the core curriculum. And they are previous episodes where myself, Joe, and Lexi talk about like the crux and the core of the Taboo Institute certification program. And then there is this ongoing experience that our students get to hop into if they are already inside the program, where they get to have a taste of each of the Realms Mastery courses, is what we call them. Realms Mastery. You can choose to have enter into one course in the Wind and Chaos realm and then move into Flame and Expression and enroll in one of those courses and so on and so on. Flame and Expression and Wind and Chaos, Flame and Expression, Mists and Depths and Matter and Knowing. Oh, it's a mouthful. And some people also choose to come in specifically into Castle Doors to take each course as a single modality certification course.
Yep.
So the first courses that we are in the live round taking our students through that are single modality certification courses is the Wind and Chaos Realm. And the first one inside that realm that we're going to share with you today is NLP 101. NLP standing for Neuro-Linguistic Programming. There's a 101, there is a 201, there's a big advanced level as well. That's going to come later. However, now Joe and I want to jam on what's inside NLP 101, and how is the Taboo Institute NLP certification course different to other NLP certification courses out there? So hopefully this little sneak peek or behind the scenes, maybe even sharing tidbits from the lessons with you, might either support you exactly where you're at today and you can take something with it immediately, work with it as a practice, or it might interest you, spark a little call for, I want to know more. How do I learn more? And we're going to tell you exactly where you can head off to after this to do that. Yeah. So Joe, NLP. You are an NLP nerd, proudly so. I want to share what I've come to know NLP as very briefly, and then I want your like get nerdy on me explanation, okay?
Yeah.
All right. So in the taboo world, I have learned that NLP is known as one of the quickest and most effective ways to work with the conscious and unconscious mind to produce real and measurable results. And the techniques and the principles and the practices, they provide this way for people to simply remove self-imposed limitations and take radical responsibility where they can be at choice for how they think, how they feel, how they act, and ultimately, in doing that, make their wildest fantasies and their reality that they desire manifest in the here and now, right now. Yes. So that's like the taboo jazzed up version. I want to hear the Joe's version. What is NLP for you? What have you come to know it as?
I love NLP. I really do. It's like, it is so much of, it was so funny, like how you were like, oh, it's like in everything that you do. And it really is. It's like, after I kind of came to know it as NLP 101, I was like, oh, this is kind of what I do naturally in a lot of ways. But really, the way I like to see NLP is it's the language of our subconscious mind. It's how our subconscious mind sort of interacts with the rest of our faculties, right? So our subconscious has all of this programming in it, sort of like a computer, right? So all of that programming is doing all these things in the background. And we have this idea that we're, you know, we're so in control of all the things that we do all the time. But the truth is that we're actually really only in control about 5 to 1% of the time. And the other 95 to 99% of the time, we're under the subconscious programming that's happening in the background. And so it's sort of a fascinating look into what's really going on in our mind that's causing all kinds of things, whether that's a limiting belief, whether that's, you know, like, oh, I'm procrastinating, or oh, I'm afraid of this, or you know, all kinds of stuff. So it's also, you know, where our biases are stored. And our subconscious and the programs that are essentially installed, basically, you know, that all takes place between 0 and 7. So for the first 7 years of our lives, we're just like a walking subconscious, and we're soaking in all this programming. And then after 7 is really when we develop our conscious mind, so that we start doing things in a conscious way. So it's fascinating. It's fascinating to see all of this and really be able to like take it apart for ourselves, so that we can figure out, oh shit, that's why I do this. That's where that came from. And know that there's a multitude of ways we could adjust our programming if it's not supportive to us, and if it's not, you know, if it's not helping us head in the direction we want to go.
For our clients.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So speaking to, as an NLP practitioner, what we're able to support our clients in is, one, I mean, first of all, as a coach or practitioner, if you're like sick of like surface level mindset work, and if you actually want to facilitate real shifts, the hashtag holy shifts, as we call them, and powerful transformations that are long lasting, like sustainable, NLP is one of the keys and ways of communicating with our clients that we get to do that. Also, for the coaches and practitioners who appreciate a more scientific and more practical approach to working with the mind, and you want to bring like this proven and powerful technique, you know, it's proven to be highly effective, highly efficient, there's like a big science to it, if you want to incorporate this work into your practice, then NLP is another way that we get to do that. Essentially, like you said, Joe, there are many ways that we get stuck, and many ways that our clients get stuck in their progress as well. And it's the subconscious. It's like I always say, going into the back door. It's like, hi, conscious mind, we'll keep you busy over here for a minute. You think you're in control, but actually, knock, 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 come around the back door. Subconscious mind, can you speak to me, please? I want to know what you're thinking, feeling, and I want to know what behaviors you're carrying out because of what you think and what you feel, whether it's a story or a narrative, a trauma response, whether that is a generational belief, a karmic belief, mm-hmm. or a personal belief. We get so much more information when we pop around the back door, because what is the conscious mind always wanting to do? Protect us from revealing that information, or denying that information, or avoiding having to visit it because the conscious mind might think that it's going to be a painful or an uncomfortable experience.
Yeah.
But the subconscious mind simply wants to be supported and helped and loves to have a voice in the process.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a fascinating thing about the subconscious, right? That it's, I mean, part of what it does is as well is keep us safe. So those memories that, you know, maybe we've had experiences in the past that were too much, you know, as kids, we wouldn't have the tools or resources to handle it. Our subconscious will sort of repress that until it recognizes that we're ready to deal with it. And then it's like, oh, hey, here's this thing we got to work on. Let's talk about it. So it's really fascinating how the conscious and the subconscious work together, and how we still don't really, I mean, it's just the subconscious mind is just so vast in terms of all the things that we know about it, but also that we don't know about it. So what it can really help us do and hinder us from doing at the same time is just, you know, when we know the language that our subconscious speaks, it's way easier, right? Way easier to figure things out, and way easier to come to conclusions and create solutions for ourselves and help our clients get there as well. You know, just by knowing this information and really being able to embody it and practice and utilize it, because it's not, you know, there isn't just like we were talking about earlier, there's not one thing. NLP isn't, that's not the, you know, the, what do you call it? Like the facilitation, like where it's like a foundation. It is like a language. And then there's different types of techniques within NLP that'll help us do so many different things. So being able to speak that language, you know, is going to help us in our client relationships, our personal relationships, just with people that we meet on the daily in general, you know.
Little segue. You know, I speak to NLP as being a favorite for more scientific approach coaches and practitioners, mm-hmm. and being a very misty depths tab witch myself, very much into the woo. I, as much as I would say NLP is not my strong suit, I appreciate being able to almost validate and strengthen my woo, quote unquote, woo practices with what I've learned through NLP. So for example, in the past, I've always encouraged, well, myself and my clients, and encouraged this conversation between the conscious and the super conscious selves, mm-hmm. i.e. conscious and the higher self. And now I get to look at myself as being practiced in, qualified in, also bringing the subconscious self voice to that conversation. Yeah. So now there's a three-way combo happening, which is so much more powerful, because I didn't know it at the time, but when the conscious and the super conscious are having their conversation, subconscious is like, what about me? And it starts acting out. And it's like, but you're forgetting about me, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like now the conversation between the three minds is so much more sustainable long-term to have shifts in, because the super conscious higher self is like, I know what to do. Conscious is like, all right, I'm trusting you, let's do it, these are the intuitive hunches that I'm getting. And the subconscious, if the subconscious is not on board, if all three minds are not on board that shift or that transformation, it's not unfortunately going to be as sustainable or at all as what it could be otherwise. So yeah. I really appreciate knowing the language and knowing the tools that I can help facilitate that NLP offers, even though I'll secretly say, oh, I don't like NLP. I appreciate how damn effective it is.
Yeah, and that's such a great point. Like, you can really utilize this for anything. Like, you don't have to love the sciencey approach or want to be very cold and clinical in how you do things, which I imagine like some people, and this is like what I've experienced through other certifications as well and other types of NLP programs, where it's very cold, it's very clinical and detached, and it's like, I can't connect to this. And I think some people really like that. And then there's the rest of us who don't really. And it's like, well, but yeah, no, thank you. So being able to really learn the concepts behind NLP and be able to apply them to our daily ways of doing and being is, I think, what makes our approach so different than anything else. Making it digestible so that you don't have to be, you know, like well-versed in psychology or like neuroscience in general. Like, we're giving you this information in a way that's very relatable and understandable, and it's we're showing you how you can use it in any given sort of situation.
So although there might be some technical terminology which I often forget, because I've gone through the certification and embodied the learnings, it's almost not important for me to remember what it's called.
Oh yeah.
I mean, oh my God, disclaimer. I'm obviously very qualified, but and I don't call myself an NLP practitioner. So whether you do go about and become an NLP practitioner, even if you are already, what if you're a mindset coach and knowing the workings of the mind is a really valuable educational pathway for you to continue on or upskill with? What if you are a spiritual life coach or a Reiki practitioner? What if you are a health coach? You don't have to say, I'm an NLP practitioner necessarily, especially if you're like me and I can't remember all the terminology, because there's a lot of it. It's very left brain, although the Taboo Institute has brought it about to be a balance of left and right brain learning. I would still thoroughly recommend NLP 101 for anybody who is supporting, one, wanting the shift for yourself and wanting to embody the works, the workings and the change, which is what I've done. The idea of having NLP in my tool belt isn't first and foremost, but I know that I'm now equipped to deal with the full picture. I am a more holistic, well-rounded coach practitioner because I'm taking all of this into consideration.
Yeah.
Have to know what it's like for my clients and myself to have all our minds on board, mm-hmm. to be able to recognize brain waves and which ones are being more dominant in any given time, to recognize how my client's posture and tone of voice and pupil dilation, like all of those sensory acuity tools, mm-hmm. I take with me every day as well. Being able to recognize a state that might be charging within someone's emotional or thought field. I get to recognize those now because I have identified what they are. I would have dismissed them possibly, or I would have missed cues, and they can be very subtle cues. And they could have been missed opportunities where I could have taken my client to a different level or uncovered something really valuable to move on to that next layer of healing and transformation.
Yeah.
I think what I was trying to say is it doesn't matter if you call yourself an NLP practitioner or not. This information is valuable for everyone who is in any practice with clients.
And sensory acuity is such a big one in terms of noticing pupil dilation, change in skin tone, you know, posture, like, oh, I mean, and even, you know, a step further in tonality, and really just being in this observational state when you talk to other people, whether it is clients, whether it is your partner, whomever, you know, in order to, again, right, because our sensory acuity can help us create rapport. So if we're having a conversation, and this is just one example. So if you're, you know, let's say you're having a conversation, it's not really going the way you want it to go. And especially if you notice through all these sensory acuity tools, this person on the other end is having a rough time. Like maybe it's just a bad day. So I can then decide based on those cues, how can I help them feel better in this moment for just a second and maybe possibly get the outcome that I want, you know? So it's twofold in that. And it's interesting the avenues and the doors that it opens up for us. With just these little or seemingly little things like sensory acuity, like what even is that? Well, it's really this ability to recognize those subtle shifts that are taking place in the environment, in the situation, or with the person that you're talking to. So it's a really helpful tool. You know, in particular, I realize that I utilize it a lot when I'm doing chronomapping techniques. So like I'll be watching as I'm, you know, guiding the person through this chronomapping experience. And I'm waiting to see cues of them, you know, creating the image or finding the image or whatever it is that we're going through. And then once I see that they have it, whether that's like a shift in their face or how they're holding themselves, whatever, then I move on to the next step. And that's how I definitely utilize it in other techniques that are not even NLP related. So
it's can I share something there?
Yeah.
I've always leaned on my intuitive coaching skills and, I'm like giggling because yes, I'm psychic and I also listen to what's not being spoken. So when I learned about sensory acuity, I got to see and witness, observe how someone, for example, my client might be breathing more shallow if we're talking about a certain stressor in their lives. And I can say something like, hey, I noticed that when you started talking about what was happening within your family right now, that you lowered your voice and your breathing got more shallow. And I'm really curious about that. And so nothing needed to be mentioned. And it's not that I'm psychic and I know that their family drama causes them lots of stress. I don't need to be psychic to know that. I need to be observant. I need to be listening to what's not being said. There is so much information that we are receiving. Even if we're on an audio call with clients, I can still listen for breath, for tonality. I can still feel a certain frequency or vibrational state that's coming through on the other line. So yes, it's handy to be able to observe with the eye. Mm-hmm. Or it could be, you know, what if it's an audio conversation and you notice that their tone of voice was more excited and enthusiastic at some point? You could say, hey, this is like something you obviously feel really good about, yes? Because I noticed that your tone of voice was more rapid and excited when you said this particular thing.
Yeah.
So not only are those cues subtle, they are really potent for like the next cookie crumb. It's like, oh, let's go there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's explore some things there, because there was a certain charge that had more substance than when we were talking about other things. Now, this is key for when I'm going off on a real big tangent. This week, we had a coaching demo call with our students that I was hosting. And students often ask this question of, how do you know which thing to support them on? If they're coming to the call with even like no idea of what they need support on, how do you get to a topic of conversation? So powerful questioning is a part of that. And that's a big part of NLP as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you read all the cues, you watch for and listen into where there's a bigger energetic charge or a physiological change happening within your client's state of being. Note where the charge is, and they are your keys. They're like the little highlights of like, oh, go here. And then obviously you get consent. You ask them if that's important for them as well. And if it is, then you go down that route, questioning and observing. If I haven't taken anything away apart from that in my NLP learnings, that's enough right there.
Mm-hmm.
Let alone all the tools and techniques that we learn, which there are numerous.
There are many in this one. But it's funny that you brought that up, because I saw that. And that question of like, how did you know where to take it? How did you know that she needed to go in this direction? And it's so funny to think about how when we have these types of tools, like sensory acuity, or you know, that we have this understanding and this embodied wisdom of NLP, that things, it's like we unlock, you know, things aren't so like quote unquote mysterious anymore. We have this sort of like almost like a roadmap to navigate these types of interactions, whether that's a coaching session or, you know, a conversation with a friend or a partner, even, you know, in a work environment, to really be able to understand not just ourselves, but others. And like you said, what they're not saying, and be able to develop this genuine, like, loving kindness and compassion as we listen, and as we're really taking in, you know, whatever's going on. So it's definitely a big key player, I think.
Yeah, like, just think about rapport. That mm-hmm. in and of itself, if we don't have rapport with our clients, if we're not able to, or let's take it out of the client practice context, if we don't have rapport with community members,
mm-hmm.
there is going to be less grounds for a neutral, beneficial relationship to occur.
Yep.
Rapport is key for clients opening up, anyone opening up. Rapport is essential for the next level of relationship to catalyze, mm-hmm. to move into progress and support and maybe even healing. When I'm able to say, hey, I noticed, or I sense, or you crossed your legs there,
mm-hmm.
or your arms, or your breath got shallow, that person on the other end is feeling so seen and heard and acknowledged.
Yeah.
In big ways. It instantly cultivates rapport.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
When someone realizes that you're really acknowledging what's going on, that you're very present to them, it gives them the opportunity to dive a little deeper, open up a little more, get to the heart of matters even sooner.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, I admit I'm in love with NLP.
But it's like, isn't it funny? It like create, it does create presence because we have to be looking for these cues, you know, like it really requires us to cultivate this ability to really actively listen and be present. And, you know, in a world where we are, I mean, we're just naturally on autopilot anyway, but it, you know, we're also multitasking, we're on our phones and we're having a conversation with the person sitting in front of us. And we're also looking at our phone and having a conversation there, that it's like, this is, it's so necessary, right? Like you were saying, this creates rapport almost instantly, to be able to utilize this NLP as a foundation for how you interact and how you have conversations with others and how you listen to what's being said or not being said, and then where you take people from there.
I'd love for us to briefly touch on what these teachings would help you as an individual, like how you would personally benefit from learning NLP. Mm-hmm. And talking a little bit about how we process and store information, all the like 2.3 billion bits of information per second that are coming at us. Like that's a lot of stimulation.
Yeah.
It's not just coming from our devices and the people and the energy in the room. But if we can, this blows my mind. We can only, our brains are only capable of processing 126 of those 2.3 billion bits.
Mm-hmm.
So if those 126 bits of information is what my mind is harnessing, utilizing, taking resources for information, if that's what I'm working with, I want to be damn sure that that information is going to serve me well. It's going to be relevant to my desires, to my goals. It needs to be suitable for my growth and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to come at me at the right time. it's going to set my mood. You know, like what if there is this, I'm getting all terminology, hopefully correct here, Joe. Reticular activating system is a it's like a biological function, right, of the mm-hmm. brain
mm-hmm.
that looks out for those pieces of information.
Yep.
And we can train it to set its sights on certain pieces of information, like RAS, reticular activating system,
mm-hmm.
nickname RAS. RAS, can you look out for 1,000K coming into my bank account within the next 2 days, please? Thanks. Raz, can you look out for all those amazing words of praise that my clients are sharing on social media about me? Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Raz, I really want that car on the lot. Can you show me in all the ways that I can like manifest that beast? We can train our Raz. And if our Raz is following subconscious programming orders, it's going to be looking out for the conflict, possibly, or all the ways in which I sabotage myself. It's going to look for all the opportunities where I get miscommunicated, which is my worst fear, having someone like not understand what I'm saying. If I can train my RAS to work for me instead of against me, then that in itself is like, even if I'm not a coach or a practitioner, if I'm simply learning this for myself and taking NLP as a personal development tool, that in of itself is like super valuable. Tell me more about NLP for self-development.
Yeah. So I was like, and it really, like, whenever I always feel like whenever we are learning like new things, I feel like it's important to sort of apply it to self first so that we can then embody it and then apply it to other things on the external.
That's a big part of what makes Taboo Institute really different to other NLP courses out there. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. And so really, I think knowing what your programming is, I mean, we may never know every single aspect of all the different programs that are going on, right? That would be a lot of information and overwhelm, but we can essentially learn what our programming is over time. And in particular, right, when we're faced with something that's challenging us on a regular basis. So let's just say, for example, that, you know, there's this stressor in your life and you don't really have a solution for it. And you're thinking like, oh, well, like, what am I going to do? And I can't get over this. And, you know, I can't ever make over this much money, or I can't seem to get my business off the ground or anything like that. It's helpful to know what programming we have going on in the background where we are in this, that's creating the self-sabotage as we know it, right? And the thing is, as well, kind of looking at self-sabotage in a way of compassion, where we recognize that, oh, is it really sabotage if this is like the programming that I'm running, right? I'm actually doing what I feel like I quote unquote should be doing based on this programming. So sort of getting familiar with our mind in that way. So if we kind of know our identities, you know, and that's what we explore within Flame and Expression, we kind of first have to go through that subconscious programming. So knowing, what are my beliefs? What are my beliefs about money or business or love and relationships or whatever, you know? And then being able to deconstruct all of that and essentially create new programs that will be more supportive, and help us sort of out of that cycle of self-sabotage. And, you know, habits, for example, I know a lot of people really want to break certain habits that they have, and like NLP is one way to do that. So, you know, like the funniest and most prominent example I have of this is someone came to me about like not wanting to eat ice cream anymore. And, you know, she was like, I can't stop eating. It's just like this craving. And so, you know, of course we checked for ecology, making sure that, you know, like, cause there's things that are, you know, we don't want to stop doing entirely, right? Like sugar, for example, like there's sugar naturally occurring in foods that are healthy for us. So we wouldn't want to like stop eating sugar because, you know, then what? So checking for ecology, making sure that was a good fit for her in reality. And gosh, we were only on the phone for 15 or 20 minutes doing mapping across, and which is an amazing NLP technique. And that was it. She was like, wow, that craving is not there anymore. Like it's gone. and months, almost a year after the fact, she messaged me and she was like, you know, I still don't, like, I eat it every now and then, but it's not a craving that I have consistently. And so that, I mean, we can shift so much. And NLP is just one way to do it. You know, like this is a top-down approach that has its time and place for those shifts in our identity, our habits, our programming, and combined with bottom up somatic and embodiment stuff, like magic happens. Sorry, I went on a long tangent there.
Oh, I loved your tangent. It was so good. So we ourselves are able to set ourselves up for greater success and have a life-enhancing perspective and view on our world and the people in it. Mm-hmm. When we know our minds are all on board, when we practice having our minds all on board with one another.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We create.
And we know ultimately that means greater alignment and greater prosperity, because the opportunities that, like, the way you want to feel, what you want to experience, even in a materialistic sense, the results get to be what you expect. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. When you change your state, you change your behavior, and that in turn changes your results.
Yes. Yes, exactly. We create so much ease, and we create all these opportunities for ourselves when we're congruent, and when we don't have, you know, our resistance happens so often when we are leaving the subconscious out of the conversation, and we're only speaking to super conscious and conscious, and they're like, yeah, let's do it, you know, like they're cheerleading us, and that's amazing and helpful and supportive, but the subconscious absolutely has to be involved in the conversation if we're really, really, really going to not only achieve, but create that sustainability in whatever it is that we are going after. So, you know, those goals that we've had for a really long time, like I know so many people who are like, maybe it's just not for me. And it's like, well, sure, that could potentially be it. But also, what else is going on underneath all of this? Like, and it's not about positive thinking, you know, your way into things or like out of things or whatever, like, because this isn't about bypassing, but it's really about recognizing what's at play in the inner workings in a holistic way of what's going on in my mind and my body. Like, that's kind of creating this polarity so that I can address it and create solutions that are going to help me reach what I want to reach in the present right now, like moving forward.
Just reminded me that that's also what gets the body on board. Like, it's great to have our minds on board. Mm-hmm. And if our cellular memory is aligned to the new outcome or the way of being that you desire, if our behavior and what we are doing, how we are being in the world matches that, it's like, again, setting oneself up for success.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. From the inside out. So it's top down, then bottom up, then inside out.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's the taboo approach. Multidimensionality. Mm-hmm. In a nutshell. That's the magic. Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. I think there's one more thing that I want to mention of what's been beneficial for me as a practitioner learning NLP is opening up my awareness, expanding my awareness and my capacity to take in consideration the other worldview, the worldviews that are might be different, even polarizing to my own.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So NLP, what I've learned has helped me to become a more open-minded, even more trauma-aware practitioner, who is capable of receiving and holding space for accepting and honoring the other.
Yes. Yes. 1,000,000%. We should align with that, but it's true. It creates this idea and understanding of everyone's model of the world is completely different based on how they grew up, where they grew up, like their background, their environment growing up, and what all that means, like who they grew up with, where specifically. So there's so many different factors that play into our model of the world. And once we kind of learn that, like in terms of how NLP explains it, And we also talk about this a little bit inside of Mindcrafting, which we'll talk about in a different episode, but tolerance and understanding that everyone is different and we don't have to change that. And we don't have to force other people's model of the world into our model of the world. And it really does open this space for the other and being able to be flexible in how we not only communicate, but who we are and how we are in the world.
Not assume any of that. Mm-hmm. And then we all know that assumption makes an ass out of you and me. All right. This is super simple. NLP can be super simple. So how about we invite each of you to, as you go about your day, just notice your state, whether that is a thought or a feeling or an energetic state. Notice the language that you're using, how you are perceiving your world, how you predominantly receive information, you know, whether that's through sight, auditory, kinesthetic, touch, something else.
smells, tastes.
And notice when you change your language, as you become more aware of what you're saying and how you are receiving information, how you are relaying information, everything that you're communicating. And play with it, because once you change your language, what you say, how you perceive things, what you might be assuming, just notice what happens inside of your mind. See how your mind is like formulating stuff like, huh, interesting. Oh, I'm curious about why I said that. Oh, why did that make me feel like this? Like, just be curious, not making anything right or wrong or good or bad. Curiosity and acceptance, non-judgment, bring those to the table. Think about what you're feeling, maybe images that are in your mind, thoughts that you can find yourself catching, and just simply witness, not judging any of it. And then later on, maybe you can sit with all your thoughts and your information that you've harvested over the day and gotten this idea of, well, where the majority of these thoughts, feelings, interpretations, perceptions, enhancing my life? Or today, did I do more thoughts, feelings, behaviors that drained me or caused some kind of incoherence or conflict within me or my relationships? Simply be with that. Be present to what you are experiencing. And that awareness, your expanded awareness, is what helps you to ultimately change without not much effort at all. Simply your desire to be human, to create in the world, to feel pleasure, to contribute in positive ways. That yearning in and of itself is enough sometimes for us to be like, wonder how I would do that next time.
Yep.
And, oh yeah, I'm probably going to do that again tomorrow and I'll have to love myself for it again and accept it again because it's a program that I'm working with right now, whether it's enhancing or draining you of life force energy ultimately. Yeah. Oh, so in short, your action step, your practice is to go about your day, notice you, be present to you,
yeah,
and love all that arises.
Yes.
And if you're practicing loving what is arising, the Taboo Institute community is here for you.
Yes, always, always, always on Insta, on Facebook, in the inbox, however you want to reach out to us to let us know how this is going for you, because we are interested. We want to know. We want to know how it's all working out.
We'd love to know what you are taking away from this episode. If there was
a key point that was a catalyst for something for you, please share it with us. And until next time, go well. Know that we have got so much more coming. Each and every single modality certification course is going to have a companion podcast episode. You know where to find us. Yeah. Any questions you've got, come out, hang with us, IG. And we have the Taboo Facebook group as well that we all hang out on. So come and join us there.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed hanging out with me as much as I enjoyed recording this for you. And it would just mean the absolute world to me if you could go ahead and hit subscribe. And also, oh my gosh, you'd be the best ever if you could leave a review saying what you loved most about this show. And of course, feel free to share this with your biz besties, your mom, your dog, anyone who you think would benefit from popping their earbuds in and taking a little listen. I appreciate you so, so much. And if you want to come and hang out with me on the interwebs, do some stalking, do some creeping, then you can find me at Lexi D'Angelo on Instagram, LexiDangelo. And also on Facebook, you can find me facebook.com/TheLexiDangelo. Have an amazing rest of your day, and I will see you next time.